Scott Harreld is known for his interviews.
Boy, you're asking great questions. I think you're in the right career path, my friend. I really do.
Scott Harreld's SOS Radio podcast starts now.
2020 might be nicknamed the year of stress and anxiety when it's all said and done, and some of us don't even remember what that peace and calm even feels like, because the last 2 months have just been insane. We're actually talking with author and counselor David Chadwick today at SOS Radio. How are you?
I'm well, Scott. Thank you. How are you?
It's been an interesting season with the kids at home. I know my wife's kind of been stressing about that and just wondering, are kids going to be caught up when the new school year starts next year? Working from home, she's a nurse, and then I'm working here at the radio station. How about you?
Wow, your life sounds a little more complicated than mine. I have grown kids and now grandkids, so I'm basically at home with my wife trying to manage a church online, which I've never done before, and then trying to talk with people via phone about their different stresses and issues and anxieties. So that's pretty much my experience. It's a new world for church, and church trying to figure things out is really challenging right now.
So, David, you pastor Moments of Hope Church over in Charlotte, but as you're talking with other pastors in this weird season where everything's gone online and we're doing Zoom small groups and we're doing online prayer and people are posting and texting in, what have you noticed about what God's doing through church in this strange season?
Yeah, I think he's forcing a lot of people to ask themselves, what is the purpose of church? And I think now we'll never, ever take for granted the ability to come together as believers in Jesus in Hebrews 10:25 language, not forsaking the gathering together of the saints. And I think also people will never, ever take for granted the ability just to get together and lay hands on one another and hold hands and pray for one another. You know, all those little things that we take for granted that really are at the heart of what the church and the body of Christ is supposed to be. So trying to figure out church world now with all the online information is just different. And I think when we are able to come back together again, there'll be a new satisfaction and thankfulness for our ability to be together.
We're talking with David Chadwick today at SOS Radio, and he's a pastor and a counselor and an author. David, as you've been talking with other pastors through this season, are you finding that more people are plugging in with online church that never came into your buildings, or has it been more of a struggle?
No, we're interestingly having probably twice the number watching us online as we were in actual attendance. I'm not sure exactly why that is. I think some of it is people watch two or three different pastors in a service in order to get as much information as they can. I think some of it is people who like to be anonymous or just dropping in and watching, knowing that we can't follow up in any kind of information process. I think more and more people are going online. It's interesting, on Google search right now, the subject of prayer is the number one search that people are looking for. So I think this has ignited a spiritual interest in people's hearts, and they're going online to try to get some of their spiritual questions answered. And that's not an altogether bad thing.
As you've been talking to other pastors around the country, David, are you noticing that giving is down, or has giving been up?
Well, I'm hearing a little bit of everything. I think smaller churches, the giving is down just because they didn't have the assets to begin with. I think larger churches, though, are doing pretty well. And our church is at almost 100% of our normal budgetary giving. And I think the reason for that is just people see us and see what we're doing, and they're wanting to be a part of it. I mean, one of the things we did, Scott, was our church, because we meet in a gymnasium and we have a low overhead and we're not having to pay a lot of expenses on buildings, we just committed $1 million to give away to the poor and the hungry here in Charlotte.
Amazing.
And when people heard about that, they went, wow. And so I think giving to our church has actually increased because people know their money's actually being given to feed the hungry.
We're talking with author and pastor David Chadwick today at SOS Radio, and he's a counselor. He writes a lot about anxiety. This has been a really interesting season where we hear about the health issues of COVID-19, but the anxiety issues on this actually may affect even more people, and that's what's really challenging here, David.
It is, Scott, and you know, I recently wrote a book entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety that was just released. Interestingly, my publishers and I agreed to that subject matter 18 months ago because we saw then it was the major issue facing Americans emotionally. For teenagers, it was the second cause for teen suicide. For people in general, anxiety was the number one negative emotion they were experiencing. So now with the COVID-19 crisis, it's like anxiety on steroids. It's caused even more people to feel more anxious like never before. So we've got to be willing to address that as pastors, as counselors, as just friends to help people walk through this season, minimizing anxiety and maximizing faith.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And basically, anxiety prescriptions and usage have actually gone up like 34% since this pandemic started. I mean, is this verse something that a lot of people just ignore in the church, or do they feel like it's something they can't really wrap their heads around?
Well, Scott, I'm not sure. I wonder, though, if people really know where the battle for anxiety occurs. And in my opinion, and what I talked about in the book, Moving Beyond Anxiety, was the battlefield is your mind. The battlefield is your thought life. So in my opinion, as a trained therapist and also a person who's a minister and trained in Bible and theology, I believe with all of my heart that in cognitive therapy language, that you are what you think, that you think thoughts that causes you to then feel what you feel that then causes behavior to occur. So if you want to change people's feelings, you've got to change their thought life. And what too many people are doing today with the anxiety they're experiencing, they're trying to just change their anxiety and get at the emotion. But if you try to just get at the emotion and then just take medications like what you said, that's like taking a cortisone shot to get an athlete to keep playing. You allow them to keep playing, but you haven't done anything to help the injury. So the real problem is what people are allowing into their minds. And folks are spending so much time on social media now. They're spending so much time in front of their televisions and getting all the bad news, no matter if you're watching Fox News or CNN. You're just putting bad news continually into your mind. And if those thoughts are what continually come in, that's what you're going to feel. So if you want to change your feelings, you've got to change your mind. Like Paul said in Romans 12, too, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You've got to replace the anxious thoughts with words of faith from God's word.
We're talking with David Chadwick today at SWS Radio, and he's an author, and he's a counselor, and he's a pastor. But David, in your experience in working with counseling and psychology, you see a lot of common denominators in people that are wrestling with stress and anxiety. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about how we can take every thought captive. He talks about how there's a renewing of our mind that has to take place. When someone's struggling in a depressed state, what do they need to do to wrap their heart around what their head is telling them?
Well, I think you just alluded to the beginning point, and that is to stop and pause. You may need a counselor. You may need a therapist. You may need just a good friend, because oftentimes therapy is just a good friend who will listen and give you sound, solid advice. And then allow this person to reflect to you the feelings that you're feeling and let you share what's going on in the depth of your hearts. And when people share their feelings, you can get at the thought life that's causing those feelings to feel what they feel. So you do need someone to help you unwrap what's going on in your mind and then help you begin to replace them with the thoughts that you need to replace them with. I do want to say, Scott, that some people are more skittish to anxiety than others. I get that and I understand it. Some people have an emotional type that allows them to be more anxious than others. Some have had a genetic history that allows that to occur. Other people have had traumatic experiences in their life, which makes anxiety more acute. You just need to get at all of those things that have caused you to feel what you feel. And then again, you've got to get at your thought life and replace those negative thoughts with the thoughts from God's word that give hope and life and blessing and reality.
Renewing your mind and taking your thoughts captive sort of seem like a fantasy for a lot of people because they've never considered that it's actually possible to do that. And we're talking about that with David Chadwick. He's a pastor and he's a licensed counselor today at SWS Radio. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about how we take every thought captive and we actually make it obedient to Christ. What exactly does that mean in the effect of taking control of thoughts, David?
Well, first of all, Scott, the reason that people don't do this is because they've never tried it. Most people in America do stinking thinking. They're lazy thinkers. They just sit back and absorb all this information that's coming at them from all these different places. So you've got to stop and try to understand where those sources of thoughts are coming into your mind. Then Paul was so right, like you said, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he said, now tear down every lofty thought that comes into our mind and we take them captive unto Christ. And what he's saying with that is when those thoughts come into our minds, we're literally spearing them. That's what the word take captive means. We're spearing them and ushering them out of our minds, out of our lives. And then you've got to replace them with good thoughts. And Paul tells us in the verse that you referred to earlier in Philippians 4-6, that we need to replace them with thoughts of thanksgiving. We need to make every prayer offered to the Lord in times of anxiety with supplication and also with thanksgiving. So a great discipline is to take those thoughts that are anxious, usher them out of your mind, and start thinking thankful thoughts. You know, if we started a Thanksgiving journal, every single one of us would find we have hundreds upon thousands of entries. You know, be thankful for your family, for your friends, for the next gulp of air, for the next ingestion of food, for the colors that surround you, for the ocean, the sky, the mountains. I mean, God has given us so many things for which to be thankful. If we can replace that anxious thought with a thankful thought, what you'll begin to see is God will release spiritual endorphins in your heart, and you'll start to feel that anxiety go away and thanksgiving and joy replace it.
We're talking with David Chadwick today at SWS Radio, and he's an author and a counselor. David, there's a difference between being clinically depressed and living through a season of depression. And we've all been walking through this rough season of staying at home and feeling isolated and not having our friends from church or our small group to plug in with or our friends to go grab coffee with or the date nights to get out of the house with our spouse. I think there's a lot of us that are starting to feel that tension. Like, you've never felt anything about depression before, but you realize, oh, Saturday morning, I don't really have anything to do. Why am I even going to get up? Or, you know, I'm not working today. I'm just going to stick around. I'm just going to go on the computer and just kind of veg out and watch like 5 hours of TV in a row because there's nothing really going on. How do you isolate that when someone starts to feel like maybe there's something that's making me feel a little depressed? What is this? How do I flesh this out? Because I don't want to go to that dark place.
Yeah, you know, first of all, again, talk to somebody and give somebody a chance to speak into your life, either a counselor or a friend. Just kind of know your day and know what you're permitting to come into your mind. That's a very key thing to do. Maybe you can do it yourself. You know, sometimes it's just as easy as sitting down and opening up the Word of God and saying, you know, Lord, reveal to me what it is within my life that's causing me to move toward depression. Let me know what that is. And I really believe in the power of the Holy Spirit that God could give you a word that would allow you to see what it is that's going on in your life. And you know, Scott, it could be as simple as you're not taking care of your human body. I find it so interesting that when Elijah in 1 Kings 18 and 19 fell into his deep depression to the point of wanting to die, the first thing God did in healing him was put him to sleep. The second thing he did was he gave him lots of water. The third thing he did was he gave him great food, probably manna from heaven. And then God put him to sleep again. And then God restored him to ministry. So we sometimes fail to realize we're body, soul, and spirit. And what happens in our bodies affects our emotions. Well, with Elijah, before God healed him to get him back into ministry, he healed his body. He made him physically healthy again. I think that's another thing people need to ask. Am I just sitting around and blobbing? Am I not doing any activity? If your body's not healthy, it's going to affect your mind. And if your mind's not well, your emotions will follow.
We're talking about taking authority over our anxiety with David Chadwick today at SWS Radio, and he's an author and he's a counselor. And David, for so many people, fear and anxiety feel like a never-ending cycle, right? You know, once a problem gets resolved, they start fearing, they start feeling anxious about the next thing that seems to be coming. It's all these what-ifs that drive us crazy.
You're right. And I tried in my book, Moving Beyond Anxiety, to differentiate between anxiety and fear. I think anxiety is the feeling that something bad might happen. I think fear is the feeling that something bad will happen. And so if you want to solve fears in your life, you've got to attack the anxieties. If you get the head of the snake cut off and you solve your anxieties, I think your fears will abate soon thereafter. And so to get at what it is that's causing us to feel that anxiety, understand the thought life we're allowing to come into our minds. Oh, no, I'm not going to have a job next week. Oh, no, something bad might happen to my kid. Oh, no, I might get the COVID-19 disease myself. You know, Scott, the truth is 90% of what we worry about, 90% of our anxieties never happen. They never happen. So if we could come to grips with that reality right out of the chute and realize anxiety is a disease of the mind that can be quickly solved, I think the fears will abate soon thereafter. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 6:25 and following, not to be anxious for anything about our clothes or what we eat or anything at all. And then he asked us to consider creation. It's one of the chapters I have in my book, to look at the birds, to look at the grass, to look at the lilies of the field and realize how God cares for them so much. Then he makes an argument from the lesser to the greater. If God cares for them in every infinite detail and meets every single one of their needs, here's the key question. How much more? Three words. How much more will the Heavenly Father care for you, the crown of his creation, human beings whom he created in his image? How much more will he care for you? And if you really believe that, Jesus said, your anxiety should lessen. And then he chided his disciples and said, O ye of little faith.
Anxiety is the fear that something might happen, and fear is the belief that something will happen to us. We're talking with David Chadwick today at SWS Radio. David, what does anxiety actually do to us physically when we hold on to that tension and that stress and we don't do something physically with that?
Yeah, well, you know, again, we are body, soul, and spirit, and the three are inextricably connected to one another. So if you are engaging in unhealthy, anxious thoughts and letting them rummage deep in your mind over and over again, your emotions will soon follow. And when your emotions aren't well, they can then affect your body and your physical health can become unwell. One other thing, Scott, that's really interesting is the word anxiety in the Bible in the Greek means a divided mind. Ooh. That is the literal translation of anxiety. So the question for all our listeners is, where is your mind focused? And we do have the opportunity to choose how we think. That is a spiritual discipline for sure. It's not easy with all the thoughts that are bombarding us today, but we can choose those thoughts from entering into our minds. And when we let negative, anxious thoughts come in, they will get into our bodies. They will affect us physically in a bad way. We've got to control how we think.
We're talking with David Chadwick today at SWS Radio, and he has a new book. It's called Moving Beyond Anxiety. It's 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind. Thanks for taking some time and sharing your wisdom, David.
God, it's been a pleasure being with you. Thanks for letting me be on your show.
Thanks for listening to the SOS Radio Podcast with Scott Harreld. If this discussion encouraged you, feel free to share it with your friends on social media.